This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Do y'all think we need like a little, some intro music? Like a little Diva Chronicles intro music?
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, like that might be coming in the near future. Mm. But for now, Diva Chronicles. Anyways, Philly G, Felicia George, coming back at you with another episode of the Diva Chronicles, and my co-host,
Natasha Hastings. Yay!
And today...
Today.
We will be speaking about balancing commitments outside of track. And I mean, I guess this would be relevant for people just balancing commitments outside of work.
Yeah. Your,
yeah. Whatever, school.
9 to 5.
Whatever other thing you do.
Yeah.
Because life, there's a lot of aspects of life that you want to include. And it's hard. Sometimes it feels like you don't have time to do everything.
Man.
And do everything at a high level, right?
Man. But, and then I get annoyed that there's this thing circulating.
I feel like I know what you're about to say.
On the internet that Beyonce got the same 24 hours. And I'll be wanting to be like, man, right. Beyonce.
Yeah.
I'm tired. But there is a true art to balancing all of your responsibilities.
Right. Well, okay. I'm not even going to get into it. I was just going to say, because I actually just, I was thinking the Beyonce thing too, but, okay, I don't know what happened there.
Okay, let's pause it.
Yeah, and go back. But Beyonce has a whole crew of people.
She has a machine behind her, yeah.
Anyways, we talking about us. Balancing commitments outside of track.
Let's stay on topic today.
Yes, we will try to do that. So, I think...
Well, first, let's talk about some of the commitments that we do have outside of track.
Okay. So, your social life?
Social.
And I... So, that's friends
I don't really have
family.
Much of that,
yeah,
but...
Yeah, there's a very small amount of that for me. But friends, family, and just doing things for fun.
Yeah.
You know? I would say branding.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess kind of, I treat myself like I'm a business.
Yeah.
So running my business.
Right.
which includes social media.
Right.
And doing any type of engagements that will help with my branding. So speaking engagements, doing media interviews. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, all the things are awesome, but they also take time and can be distracting at some points in time.
And I think people don't realize that it's actually work,
yeah,
too. Like, and depending on your personality type too, mm-hmm. like for me, people don't believe this, but I have to tell them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I come home and I pull the blinds and I'm good. So
do you identify as an introvert?
I do identify as an introvert. However, I've been told that I've matured into an extrovert when needed. So what's meant by that is, you know, when I'm in settings where I need to be,
right.
You know.
See, this is the thing. I think I'm an introvert,
yeah,
as well, but I am a social person. So
yeah.
To me, being an introvert means that I am energized by being by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas when I'm in social settings, it takes energy from me.
Yes.
So I think being introverted doesn't mean you are not social, or doesn't mean you don't have the capability to be social,
right,
or to speak with people. It's just that process is draining.
Right. No, it's facts. And that's what I was getting to, that like when I go into certain, like a speaking engagement,
yeah,
or a meet and greet, or I literally have to give myself a pep talk,
mm-hmm,
before I go in.
Yeah.
And then when I leave, I got to come home.
Yeah.
Pull my blinds.
Spend some time.
And recharge. Like,
yeah,
because it does... It takes something out of me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can be social. I can be, you know, talkative if needed, if the topic is something I'm passionate about. But for the most part, I don't mind being by myself.
I love spending time myself.
I love time with me, myself,
yeah,
and I.
Yeah,
but
I
but yeah, all of those things equate to work for me.
Yep.
Truthfully. And
yeah.
I mean, but like you said, you know, our main commitment is obviously our job is track,
yeah,
sports.
I think what's also interesting just with track and field is, and I mean, that's what it is very much, it's not even just a 9 to 5, it's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle.
So, I mean, my commitment to track doesn't end with the amount of time that I spend at the track. Mm-hmm. It's so I'm you know, I have weights in the morning, and then I'm going to be going to the track. But then mm-hmm. I'm going to do recovery stuff when I get home. Right. It's cooking to make sure I have my meals ready.
Right.
Sleeping, making sure I'm getting 10 hours of sleep. So it's like that commitment alone already feels like a whole day. Yeah. And it's like a whole thing. And so
making sure that you're in bed by a certain time. And you know, for a while I actually felt guilty about that.
Going to sleep early and stuff.
Going to sleep early, but even like, you know, most of my good friends, I don't want to say they work 9 to 5s because most of my friends are like entrepreneurs. They mm-hmm. have their own businesses. But, you know, when they hear my work day, yeah. in air quotes, is finished by sometimes 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
It sounds like I'm just.
Yeah, you're chilling.
Chilling for the rest of the day. And in some cases, I am chilling, but the chilling is necessary.
I was going to say that is a necessary part of the job.
Because of what I've done from 9 to 2.
Yeah.
And so I did feel guilty. And even now, like with trying to balance, you know, I have my foundation. I have my cosmetic fund. I have my social media that I manage. I am the person behind all of that. You know, speaking engagements, all of that stuff. You know, I do wish that I some days could give more to it, but there are literally some days that I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess therein lies like prioritizing what, you know, you give your time to each day. Because first and foremost, the workout is always going to come first, right? And then, you know, just giving yourself... You know, like yesterday I had a to-do list and I was like, okay, I'm not going to get to all of this, but if I get to 3, I can breathe, you know? So just kind
of... So are you a big list person? Because I am a big list person.
I am.
And I can't function without. Yeah.
There's something about like crossing it out mm-hmm. or putting a check next to it and like just visually seeing that you got it done.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but writing out what I have to get done and then like just... checking it off as I go is definitely something that kind of keeps me in order.
Yeah.
I guess there's a sense of accomplishment, like, okay, I got that done.
Right. Yeah.
I can move on to the next. But, you know, being able to sort of prioritize what has to get done.
What's the most important thing.
Is key. Yeah.
I agree. And I was going to actually even say sometimes when I make my list, it's in a specific order
mm-hmm.
where like, this is what needs to be done first and this is what needs to be done. And then if those other two things don't get done, then by all means, what the 2 most important things. And all those other commitments come after the big
thing. See, I think I just kind of jot things down. Mm. And then as I look at it, I'm like, okay, this and this, I got to get to.
Right, yeah.
Kind of thing. But
do you plan out your week? Or are you like the morning of, night of?
I used to be good at planning out my week. But I'm just going to keep it funky 100. Recent life activities just have me so far behind in life that it has become a day-to-day thing where it's like, okay, I'm going to get to what I can and then, you know.
Yeah.
But I used to be like a weekly, monthly, especially when I'm competing.
Yeah.
Like those things because it's like you got training and then in between training you got massage, physio, and then all the other things in between and then travel days. And so, then when my schedule was like that, I would have to.
Because the thing is, I feel like the busier you are, the more you have to be strict about your time management. Because like you just said, like if I want to be traveling, I know I'm going to be traveling this week and I'm going to be traveling the week after that. Like, you know, I only got 3 days in between to potentially do something.
I think you also have to know the type of person that you are too, right? True. Because. Yeah. Sometimes I've heard people be like, oh, I'll just get it done on the plane. Me doing work on the plane, it does not work.
Let me just say this. I do my absolute best riding on planes.
See?
It's the crazy
for me.
It's the crazy. The thing is, sometimes I say I'm going to do it and then I'm like, oh, I don't feel like it. But there's something, if I actually pull out my computer and start writing, I've done some of my best. It's like, I just get in this crazy zone.
I can't even write on my computer. That's another interesting thing. Like, if I write a blog or something, like, I have to write it out and then go back and type it. I don't know what it is. It just doesn't flow
the same. I have horrible
in front of a computer.
Penmanship.
Me too.
And writing. I do. So, first of all, I journal a lot. So, I do write a lot in books. But if I'm doing anything formal or for something, I'll just do it on the computer. I can type on the computer and I don't have an issue. But yeah,
even if I like send an email, I have to proofread it like 6 times.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say you write out your email. No, I'm like, girl, do not.
because I don't know, something about typing for me, it just doesn't flow, and I'm like reading it out loud and like going back and checking the punctuation. And but if I write, I can just it just goes. I don't know what that's about.
Interesting.
Yeah, but me on the plane, like I'm either doing one of a few things on the plane. I'm either watching a movie.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
Or reading a really, really darn good book.
I do that as well.
Or people watching.
Hmm.
So there's no way I can focus on
that. I don't watch a lot on planes. Do you sleep well on planes?
Depending on how tired I am.
I don't sleep well on planes.
Yeah.
Like, I barely sleep, so.
If it's been a long night, or like, definitely like coming back from Europe or something where it's like,
yeah,
we had that late night race. I can almost never sleep after a late night race. So then going to the airport early in the morning, and then you get on the plane, like, it's lights out.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't even know when we took off.
Yeah. Even if I had that late race, I didn't sleep at all the night before, woke up early, got to the airport, I would be on the plane, like, eyes open.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's the worst.
I'm sorry. I mean, it's not refreshing sleep because you wake up, like, in weird positions and stuff, but yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, we're going to topic.
There we go again. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say one thing that I do in terms of balancing. So I will have certain times of the year where I allow more things than other times of the year where I won't.
Yeah.
It's almost like prioritizing certain times. So early in the year when we're not competing,
right,
and when we're going through like base season.
Yeah.
So that I would say like October, November, December.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I try to like fit in a lot of my like off the track stuff.
Right.
Usually I would say, obviously when we're gearing up closer towards national champs or any type of championship.
The answer is no.
Exactly. Like that stuff goes like almost out the door.
Right.
My media goes on like in terms of doing interviews and all that stuff, like gets become very limited.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause then the amount of energy and the amount of focus that you have to put in increases.
Right.
And so to share that, I feel like I'd be taking it away from track. And something that someone told me once was almost thinking of the amount of energy you have as blocks. Like, let's say you have 10 blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing when you can share those blocks amongst different things and when all that energy needs to go towards, you know, your main thing.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
I don't really have much to add to that because it's like the same. Like when I'm in season, I tend to say no a lot more. Depending on what it is. I have done some. There are some opportunities that it's just kind of like.
Mm-hmm. I still do stuff in season. Yeah. But yeah.
There are some opportunities that it's just like.
Frequency.
My agent will be like, I know you don't want to leave training, but we got to get this in.
Yeah.
So like if it's work for my sponsors or, you know, like a major media outlet or something like that. But we do tend to try to keep those, like you said, out of competition. For me, my foundation work, volunteer, all of that stuff, I try to keep, and even prioritizing, like when I do local stuff, like making sure that it doesn't conflict with practice.
Right.
But yeah, I try to keep it in the off season. And then in that 6 weeks that I get off, it's not really off because it's like, I'm trying to jam pack all that I couldn't get done.
I do too much in the off season.
Yeah. Same. So then it's like, you need another off season from the off season.
My goal this year though, especially because, from Worlds into Olympics is going to be so tight. Short. I want to do as little as possible. Like I want to give myself a true off season. I say that now. Y'all gonna see me everywhere.
Yeah.
But okay, in terms of social media, do you like let's say shut down at a certain point in time? Like what do you do?
So I do shut down. On the day of, I don't do anything at all.
Any competition.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Well, let me take that back. Depending on like at nationals or worlds or I'm not on there on the day of.
Yeah.
I will do a post the night before. If I do a post the day of, it's literally like that post and then I'm out.
Right.
But yeah, I definitely try to stay away from it on competition days. And and even kind of give myself a cut off the night before.
Right.
And in some instances, I have like handed it over to my publicist or something, like right. if there's something that has to be posted or something. But yeah, I try to stay away from it, and then I won't go back to it until after
the fact. Yeah.
But, yeah.
So I usually do. So for championships, I try and do the week. Mm-hmm. leading into my race off.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also done something similar where in that time I've given it to someone
mm-hmm.
to still post for me.
Yeah.
Or to keep people updated on whatever's going on.
Yeah.
Because
that's a hard balance
because yeah.
it's like to those times are the times that you
Everybody,
actually get
yeah.
the most engagement. People yeah. see you on TV. So you want to maximize those times.
Yeah.
But still balancing that like I got to focus
I
on this
focused,
over here.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I think the thing about social media – a big reason why I definitely come off is you just don't know what you're going to see when you're on there. And
Baby.
Yeah. So, like, I don't even want to take a chance.
I can talk to you about some social media bullies now.
Yeah. I don't even want to seem not, I don't, like.
You don't even want to change
I'm not bringing
it.
Any negativity
right.
in my space
right.
at all. And so, yeah, just totally cutting that off. So, I usually try and do a week. So, leading into nationals or leading into a major championship, so I'll try and do a week. And then other competitions, usually day of.
Yeah.
I won't be on and then
yeah.
after. Yeah.
Yeah. Social media can get sticky, man.
Yeah.
I think I have an eyelash.
What about how do you deal with like family and friends? Like dealing with feeling the need to spend time and give time to
So because I am not necessarily a person that it's interesting because I have a little bit of guilt about this. Mm-hmm. Guilt because I'm just not by nature someone who stays in contact
mm-hmm.
or you know like mm-hmm. months will go by and I'll be like, ooh, I should check on such
yeah,
and such.
I'm the same. Although I'm trying to do a better job.
I'm trying to
now.
Do a better job too. My mom is probably the only person in the world that I speak to every day.
Mm-hmm.
My mom and my fiance. Otherwise, it's like...
Everybody will not include me in that.
I know, right? But otherwise, you know, some time will go by. I have friends here in Austin. And then that's the other thing, too. Being here in Austin, I don't have any family here whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's just, like, friends that I've made over the years from being here. It's something that I feel guilty about, but it's something that I also feel unapologetic about, too.
Right. Right.
Where there are instances where, you know, hey, we're meeting up for happy hour.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I can't make it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whether I have a hard practice tomorrow, I'm getting ready to leave for a trip, or
mm-hmm.
it's just not the season for me to be kicking it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where I do feel bad because, but thankfully, I think I have friends that understand
mm-hmm.
what the commitment is. But I do feel bad that there are things that I miss out on. But I feel bad in the sense of what it possibly gives off to my friends. Not
right.
like I'm missing anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I was gonna say, do you ever feel like you have a longing, like there's a void that you need to fill? Cause I mean, sometimes people like we're social beings. Like
yeah.
we want to spend time with people and feel connection with people. So is there ever a time when you're like, I need it, but I can't have it? Or
no.
And I mean, I'm assuming you're like me where it's like
maybe
kind of like
more like family time.
Okay.
But not necessarily. And I hope none of my friends listen to this and take this personally,
mm-hmm.
but I think, and it may have something to do with proximity
mm-hmm.
because some of my friends are here, so I know that like they're here.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas my family is far.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, it's typically my friends that will call and be like, "Hey,
right.
what are you doing? Let's link up." Or there have been a couple of instances where I'll be gone for a while,
yeah.
and I'll be like, "I'll be back in town if you guys want to link up.
Right.
Let's do
right.
such and such."
Right.
But I'm usually
yeah.
fine.
But generally off season, that's when
yeah,
you're like, okay,
yeah.
cool. like now I'm free.
Right.
Let's kind
yeah.
of make up for
it's
that.
Definitely
time.
More so off season than it
yeah.
would be in.
Yeah. That's how I am too. Yeah. And just kind of speaking to the fact, like you saying being in Austin. So for me, I was training in Toronto for a while,
mm-hmm.
Which is home. And the distractions just became way too much. And like my family's there, and I've said this before, but I have a hard time saying no to my family. Mm-hmm. And just having so much friends there, just there's just too much to do. And that's why I made the decision to move away and start training in the US. And it's like literally one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life.
Really?
And like being away and literally feeling the stress of feeling like I had to like do for people and be around people was like away. And it's like, if I'm away, there's no phone calls.
Right.
Because I know I'm not there. You know what I mean? So it kind of it saved me from having to say no, because now there's just people know that I'm not there. So I guess that's kind of like the way I dealt with it. Like almost taking myself out of the situation and not making that an option. And even this year, like, man, I haven't been home since January, maybe. And my training's probably the best it's ever been. So, but I will say one thing that I am doing, and I've been really committed to. So I hate FaceTime. I hate FaceTime. And I've started using FaceTime way more. So I have like a group of friends that I check in with.
Yeah.
And I'm usually the person where we haven't spoken in 6 months, and then we'll call and have a 3-hour conversation.
Oh, gosh.
And then we'll like check in the next 6 months.
That's me.
But now I kind of have like a little rotation of people that I'm like trying to, you know, really invest into the relationship. Yeah. And since I'm not home, I mean, having a 20-minute phone call in the morning doesn't feel crazy to do.
Right.
And I actually feel like it's been fulfilling for me, like kind of filling my like my like social checkbox for me, without me having to like go to dinner or like, you know. So
you know, I wonder how much of it too though is like the phase of life that we're in, and by that I'm referring to like all of my friends. Well, not all of, but a good portion of my non-athletic friends. And by non-athletic, I just simply mean they don't play professional sports.
Yeah.
Have families.
Yeah.
And so
that's me too.
They were just in a different place that like the things that they wanted to do, the things that they wanted to talk about, you know, I love your family, I love you, but I ain't necessarily in that space.
Right.
I don't really want to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there was even some of that I would say that makes a difference in like even some of my friends here in Austin, like. Some of them do have families. Some of them are single. But, and then just the difference in what our careers are, period, of, like, just understanding that, like, I can't hang out. Like,
I
gotta go to bed.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. I think that that also makes a difference in, like, what type of engagement you crave, really.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and I guess my karma is going to come back on me now.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I love the kids, but, like, when I come home from, like, a long training day or it's just been a tough week, I don't necessarily want to hang out with you and your kids.
Right.
Not that I feel any, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so there was even some of that or, like, you know, just, you just, I don't know. I feel like I sound like a horrible person saying this, but it's like we were just at different points in our life, different, you know, places where it's like, I love you. I'm really happy for you, but I can't.
Yeah.
And I did have some friends where it was like, literally I think this is a huge thing where you really have to protect your energy because I had some friends where I would literally get off the phone with them. And when I get off the phone, I'm like, oh my God, totally just sucked the life out of me. And I had to shelf, like I'd have a conversation with that person, but I did kind of have to put that friendship on like, because then that starts pulling from other places of other for commitments in my life.
Yeah.
So even, you know, being aware of that. It's challenging.
If anybody who I find, if every time we talk and we talking about some negative stuff or it's always a complaining, I'm gonna give you like a few times and especially if I feel like, okay, that's the energy you're in, I'll try and balance it and try and bring the positive. Right. But if you ain't catching what I'm giving you, it ain't gonna be happening much.
No, it's tough because it's like that thing where on some level I feel somewhat guilty. But then on the flip side of it is like, but I can't allow you to suck me down.
Yeah. Wherever. I think the biggest thing, I mean, especially with track, in creating the balance is being okay with being selfish. Mm. Like being okay with making a choice that will benefit yourself, mm-hmm. and also understanding that you cannot do it all. Mm-hmm. So you have to choose what is important. Mm-hmm. What can I like do without affecting track, and kind of drawing that really hard line and being like, everything on that other side can't be here.
Yeah.
And you got to be okay with that.
Yeah.
And it's like when you're trying to do everything, it's when you're trying to fit everybody in, when you're trying to make everybody happy. That's the problem right there.
I feel like we should do a survey of athletes, of track athletes, and see like how many of us are like in successful relationships. Mm. Because I will say that that was a challenge for me. Mm. Like even my current situation, my fiance, mm-hmm. I shouldn't say my current situation because we're going to be together forever. We're getting married. But we broke up for a while. Yeah. And, you know, when we got back together and kind of like reevaluated some of the things, he's also an athlete. And we realized like we were both selfish, and not selfish for just pure human mm-hmm. selfishness, mm-hmm. but we were selfish because of what our careers were and what, you know, let me not say that all the way. There was some selfishness mm-hmm. involved, but
it's like, it's an extra layer of
two
people trying to come together.
And yeah. It's tough because it's like you have this window mm-hmm. essentially to get this mm-hmm. goal or whatever done, that this is the only time that you have to get it done. Mm-hmm. So you're right. You do kind of have to become okay with being selfish, but then the people around you, the relationships around you, from family, romantic, friends, whatever, also have to understand that mm-hmm. level of selfishness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I agree. And I think for me, when I feel like I'm disappointing people, that weighs really heavy on my heart.
Oh, God, same.
Like, so heavy on my heart. So it's like, I can't even have somebody around that's going to make me feel like that.
Right.
Because if I really care about you and you make me feel like I'm not doing for you, mm-hmm. it'll destroy me. Mm. Like, it hurts. And it's like, the thing is, then you get in the battle because you're like, I know that I need to do this for track. And I know this is the best thing for me. And I know this person needs this for me. So now what do I do?
Right.
And that hurts. You know what I mean? So to me, it's kind of like, and I've had to get really good about expressing myself. And speaking to, I've had to speak to my needs. And I think for a long time I'm still struggling with it, but the person that is like, I'll just shove what I need down here mm-hmm. and then like cater to like what other people need. But it has to be, I'm speaking from my truth and speaking from this is what is necessary for me. And it's like, you can choose which way you want to go with this. Like, if you want to be on board, cool. If you don't, cool.
I think for me, that is definitely a thing. But I think, much like you're saying, I had to get to a point where I had to realize, like, I absolutely hate disappointing people that I love.
Yes, yeah.
And, or feeling like I'm disappointing those mm-hmm. people. But I did have to get to a point where, even though, it wasn't so much that I ignored the feelings. I believe that we should acknowledge what we're feeling, mm-hmm. because once you acknowledge it, then you can process what you need to do going mm-hmm. forward. Mm-hmm. But it's on some level, including my family and my fiance, there were certain things where I, like you're saying, like, this is what I need. This is a hard no mm-hmm. for me. This mm-hmm. is, it has to be this way. And just, you know, putting my foot down with that and just, you know, staying true to it. Mm-hmm. But it is challenging. But then on the flip side, there are people that it's very easy to just be like, all right, you don't get it, cool.
Yeah.
No skin off my back.
Yeah.
I'm over here doing you do you. And like, and I think, interestingly enough, I think one of the things that kind of allows me to be that way is sometimes I'm able to kind of take a step back and kind of see things. I have this thing where it's like, we don't necessarily have to agree, but just because we don't agree doesn't mean I don't understand your perspective.
Right, right.
So I understand.
Yeah.
We don't agree.
Yeah.
But we'll just respectfully disagree.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go my way. You go your way. Doesn't mean we have to be nasty to each
other. There's no beef.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's all good.
Yeah.
And I think that comes with maturity and age, though.
For sure. Yeah.
But that is a hard one.
Yeah. But I think another interesting thing is how much sometimes we'll build up situations in our minds that aren't even true.
It's not even real.
So, I mean, and there's been multiple times where I'm like, oh, my dad needs me to do this, and I have to do this, and he'll be so disappointed if I don't. And then eventually muster up the courage to have a conversation with him, and he's like, okay. And I'm like, what?
That's it?
Yeah, I'm like,
what do you mean that, okay?
I've been brewing on this for months. Like, and he's just like, oh, yeah, that's fine. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, if I just said something from the get-go.
Right.
And, like, and I think that it's important to speak and to communicate and express, mm-hmm. because otherwise the other person, you don't know what the other person's thinking, and the other person might.
I think, speaking of dads, moms, mm-hmm. I go through the same thing. It's so funny how the same that is in the work environment, too,
mm-hmm.
where, like, you'd be afraid to have a conversation with a colleague, your boss, whoever, and it's like you have the conversation. I guess sometimes we forget on the other side of it is another human being.
Yeah.
So sometimes they can relate. Sometimes they do understand.
Yeah.
And I also think it's in the way that you present things.
Yeah. Yeah,
too.
Sure. Yeah.
But yeah, I've definitely worked myself up into some unreal situations where it's like,
it wasn't even.
It ain't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about, or do we want to, okay, well, let's just talk about how do you balance your off the track stuff? Like off the track in terms of track related.
Mm-hmm.
This is for the benefit of track.
So you're talking about like physio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the things that for me are like standing appointments. Mm-hmm. So by making them standing time slot, standing appointments, mm-hmm. is like non-negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
So like
routine.
Yeah.
Like, to me, like that's it. Like once I get into a routine, like we're just rolling. Yeah.
That's it. So, you know, it's like, again, like, oh, I can possibly do lunch, but I can't do lunch on this day. Cause that's when I go get.
Right.
Go to the chiropractor, or you know what I mean? So if I have those standing things in place, there's no room for, you know.
Yeah.
The thing that I could do better on is meal prep, but I just get my meals prepared and so I don't necessarily do the cooking part, but yeah, I just make sure that those things are scheduled.
Yeah.
And I try to schedule them at least like a month out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
it's set.
Yeah.
I think I thrive on routine. As for those types of things,
right.
I need it to be the same all the time. And so like meal prep, and what I have issues is when I travel and then I come back and it's like a weird time that I come back and then my routine's thrown off. And then I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to survive this week. So for example, I usually meal prep on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
If I come back late on a Sunday, it's like, now I didn't get the meal prep on Sunday. And then my whole week, my meals feel weird because then I'm like cooking through the week and I hate, and I can't wait till like, you know, weekend so I can like get my life together again.
So the travel schedule must have you like.
Oh yeah. It just messes with me because I like when I can get a really nice training block.
Yeah.
And I'm just like home for a month and it's just like, oh yeah, I'm like just in it. But once I start traveling, I'm usually like a little bit more flustered.
Mm-hmm.
But.
So would you say you're like a creature of habit?
I just know I thrive. I'm at my best when I'm in a routine. But I know how to be flexible.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be
in this
track.
Yeah,
I've learned. But if you want to see the most productive Felicia possible, give me a routine and give me a day in, day out, and I will thrive in that situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, I don't know how good, like, I'm good up to a certain point with a routine.
Mm-hmm.
Or I should say like on a daily routine. So like meal prep wouldn't work for me, or I shouldn't say it wouldn't work for me because I never tried to meal prep myself, but like I do get meals prepared and there will still be like a day or two out of the week that I got meals at home and I'll be on my way home from practice and I'll be like, I don't really want what's in there. I'm going to stop and get something else.
Same.
Okay.
Same.
All right. So I'm not like totally, because I'm listening to you and I'm like, dang, I don't have it like that.
But I usually only meal prep for the week. And then on the weekends, I'll give myself whatever I want.
Yeah. I try my hardest to stick to that. Like, okay, you got these meals, you paid for them, eat the meals.
But when I meal prep, because my issue with getting food prepared is, they usually, almost for the whole, all the meals, it's like very, very similar.
Yeah.
And I hate eating the same thing. Right? So that's usually when it comes Friday and I'm like, I already had this like six times. I don't want it. So when I meal prep different than most people, where I'll create, it's basically just me cooking on one day. But I'll cook like three different meat options, two different grains, and like three different veggies. And then I mix and match through the week.
She can cook, y'all.
So, I do basics, but I just had the food there.
So. I couldn't. I wouldn't be able to do that variety. But no. No, routine is definitely key in having those things in place to stay on track.
Yeah. And it's just helpful to like not have to think about it. And not have to, when am I going to fit this in? Like, you know what it is. Like, you know what. So there's no not doing it. So, I think that's a good place
to end. I'm sorry.
Yeah, as Natasha yawns. She's like, yo, I'm done.
Yo, I'm struggling. But nonetheless, we got it out.
Yeah.
I'm realizing I'm saying nonetheless a lot lately. I don't know where that came from. Anyway, thanks for tuning in, guys. Hopefully, we dropped some gems on this one. The last few.
This is episode 10.
Oh, my God.
Episode 10. I feel like we need a celebration.
We do.
It's 10 episodes.
Mm. What kind of celebration?
I don't know. I have no...
I would love a glass of wine right now.
Okay, let's have a glass of wine to celebrate.
Really?
No. Oh, yeah, you can.
You.
Scratch that.
B-I.
Okay, yeah, let's do it. Sorry, y'all. I forgot.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed.
We'll
catch you next time.